Today, remember, a budget is just that. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of his posts covering funds and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, we had the MyEFO this week, which is the mid-year economic financial outlook, which is, of course, a budget trying to set a direction with regard to the finances for the next few years. Now, you can interpret this in a few different ways, and today I wanted to just unpick some of the key thematics. Now, Peter Martin, the visiting fellow at the Crawford School of Public Policy at the ANU, in the conversation said, so far, so good. Outside of Victoria, the number of hours worked has almost returned to where it was, nowhere near where it should have been, but almost where it was. Employment figures released by the Treasurer revealed that 1.298 billion hours were worked outside of Victoria in November, just a whisker short of the 1.303 billion worked in March before things went south. On a graph, it looks quite like a V-shape. That's the much talked about V-shape recovery. But eagle-eyed readers will note that hours worked were turning down before the coronavirus hit. They peaked in September last year. Victoria itself has bounced back sharply from the low point of its lockdown in August. Then it put in 417 billion hours of paid work. In November, with its lockdown over, it put in 453 billion, not too far short of its peak of 476 billion before things turned bad. Freudenberg said 85% of the 1.3 million Australians who either lost their job or saw their working hours reduced to zero are back at work. The numbers reflected the so-called MyEFO budget update, with more people back in jobs more quickly and people leaving JobKeeper more quickly than expected in the October budget. The projected deficits will be somewhat smaller, peaking at just under $200 billion this financial year instead of just over $200 billion as expected in October. That's still, of course, a big number. The budget will remain in deficit for as long as anyone can forecast, at least for 10 years. And even after that, the government's net debt will still exceed one third of gross domestic product. Although falling interest rates will mean net interest payments start to fall before net debt does, assuming rates stay low, as they probably will. Some government loans cost it 5 to 5.25% per year in interest. As they expire in the next years, they'll be replaced with loans costing 1% or less, and in some cases less than zero, where bidders for bonds offer negative interest rates. And soaring iron ore prices have pushed up estimates of this year's company tax take from $84.5 billion expected back in October to $87.9 billion. And at the time of the budget on October the 6th, the cost and freight spot iron ore price, which includes the cost of getting it to the buyer, was near $120 a tonne. And in the 10 weeks since then, it's climbed to more than $150 a tonne. But the budget papers expresses the price differently, as a free onboard price, which includes shipping, and is about $10 US less than the cost and freight price. In what it says is a prudent judgment, the update expects the free onboard price to slide down to $55 a tonne by September 2021, meaning it expects it will more than halve. Now, much depends on how quickly Brazil ramps up production after a series of catastrophic dam collapses and the coronavirus interruptions. The sooner it does, the sooner the price will halve and the volumes of Australian iron ore sold will wind back, cutting company tax revenue. And China would rather buy from Brazil than Australia, of course, bearing in mind the broader trade tensions. Boosting the budget is an improved forecast for employment, the unemployment rate is now expected to get down to 5.25% by June 2024, somewhat below the 5.5% expected at budget time. Working the other way, though, is a self-inflicted injury, because tucked away in Appendix A of the update is confirmation of the costs of settling the case brought against the government on behalf of victims of Robodebt, who were sent often incorrect, automatically generated notices alleging that they had to pay back benefits. And that will cost $112 million on top of the $705 million that's already been refunded. Now, Phil Corey, the political editor at the AFR, was oozing confidence, saying the government will delay the task of budget repair for another 3 years, despite a stronger than expected recovery in jobs growth, including a forecast the unemployment rate will fall below 6% a year earlier than predicted just 2 months ago. Releasing the mid-year budget update on Thursday, Frydenberg said that 5.75% unemployment forecast for 2022-23 did not meet his benchmark for not being comfortably below 6%. That was the trigger he nominated in September for when the government would shift its focus towards budget repair. This would include tackling debt and deficit and ceasing spending on job creation measures such as the Business Investment Allowance, Home Builder Scheme, and structural reforms to improve the ease of doing business. He said in the short-term outlook, both domestically and internationally, remain too volatile to stop spending on support measures until the unemployment rate hit 5.5% or 5.25%. As a forecast for 23-24, there will be no shift in strategy. Next year, some of our income supports are tapering down, and there's other economic support coming into the economy, and we're all hopeful about a vaccine, but a lot does depend on a vaccine being successfully rolled out across the world in terms of international borders and the like, he said. We continue to watch the labour market very closely, but our thinking still remains comfortably below 6%, and around 5.25% or around 5.5%. This volatility, of course, has been underscored again since Thursday when Western Australia and now South Australia and Victoria reimposed border controls on New South Wales after the coronavirus outbreak in Sydney's Northern Beaches. Now, this was despite Frydenberg pleading with the state premiers in Western Australia and Queensland not to act in haste, saying they could destroy confidence. That is the one thing that dents confidence if you have to stop, start restrictions, lockdowns and border closures, he said. The mid-year economic and fiscal outlook, which updated the forecast in the October the 6th federal budget, predicted 5.75% unemployment in 2023, down from 6% forecast in the budget. The MAFO was released an hour after the Australian Bureau of Statistics reported 6.8% unemployment for November, just below market expectations of 7%. Economic growth for this financial year was upgraded to 0.75% from a minus 1.5% in the budget, and the budget forecast a deficit of $213.7 billion for 2021, while the deficits across the four-year forward estimate period was forecast to $480.5 billion. The MAFO has reduced the deficit for this financial year to $197.7 billion and the four-year total to $456 billion. The forecast deficit for 23-24, the final year of the forward estimates, is just $66 billion, only marginally down from the $66.9 billion in the budget. Debt forecasts are also stubbornly high, as they were in the budget. Net debt will still peak at 42.5% of GDP in 2024, while gross debt will hit 53%, or more than $1 trillion by the end of the decade and counting. The updated numbers are encouraging and better than what was expected at budget time just 10 weeks ago. Frydenberg said unemployment is lower, GDP growth is higher, and there are improvements in the budget's bottom line, but the road ahead is challenging, very challenging. We've not yet defeated the virus. It is still with us. The biggest impact on the deficit this year is an $11.2 billion saving due to lower than anticipated demand for the JobKeeper wage subsidy. In the December quarter alone, the number of workers forecast to receive the subsidy fell from 2.24 million to 1.6 million. The welfare bill was $3.7 billion less than forecast in the budget, but this was largely offset by a $3.2 billion extension to the coronavirus supplement added to the JobKeeper unemployment benefit. The supplement was reduced from $250 a fortnight to $150 a fortnight, but extended for another 3 months to the end of March. Now, the MIEFO also included a handful of new measures, including $1 billion more for aged care, of which $850 million will fund the creation of another 10,000 home care packages. Now, that makes 50,000 packages that have been announced since last year's MIEFO. But in all, there was $6.3 billion in new spending since the budget. The biggest spend is $3.2 billion to extend the coronavirus supplement for the unemployed. And handing down his first economic statement, Finance Minister Simon Birmingham said the smaller than predicted deficits for this financial year were still huge and not an excuse for the savings to be spent. Some will argue that these improvements create more room for more spending elsewhere, he wrote. They ignore the reality that although budget improvements will occur as temporary pandemic-related measures come to an end, deficits are expected to continue throughout the medium term. Demands from Labour or elsewhere for even more spending right now shows a failure to learn the most obvious lessons from the start of the pandemic, that wherever possible, fiscal capability needs to be preserved when it's really needed. That's why our support measures and stimulus decisions to date have been temporary and targeted. And Shadow Treasurer Jim Chalmers said that while Labour welcomed the improvements in the numbers since October, unemployment was still too high and money was not being spent wisely on job creation. We've still got more than 2 million Australians who don't have a job or don't have enough hours. Wages growth is even weaker in this update than it was before, and there are a range of issues that we need to be focused on, he said. And the alarm sparked by the fresh coronavirus outbreak in New South Wales shows that despite the stated commitment by our federal and state leaders to live with the virus under a strategy of suppression, we actually really now embraced a mindset of elimination. Regardless of the New South Wales government's stellar record in containing and crushing previous outbreaks, it still does not receive the benefit of the doubt. With just over a week before Christmas, the Premier of Western Australia has once again put out the not welcome sign to New South Wales. Queensland has followed, as has South Australia and Victoria. This has once again underscored the volatility which can so quickly see the economy head south again. In fact, in September, Treasurer Josh Frydenberg outlined a two-tiered budget strategy. Only when unemployment had fallen comfortably below 6% would the spending on job creation projects be turned off and the government's full focus swing back towards budget repair, specifically tackling debt and deficit. And Thursday's mid-year budget update showed that that turning point could have been a year earlier when the unemployment forecast of 22-23 fell from 6% to 5.75%. However, he said, in his view, that was not comfortably below 6%. Our thinking still remains comfortably below 6% is around 5.25 or 5.5%. In other words, the year for switching budget strategy remains 23-24, when the budget update predicted unemployment would hit the pre-COVID level of 5.25%. Now, I suppose this may change again in the May budget if the nation remains and its current recovery path, but this week it was too early to make that call. Both internationally and domestically, as evidenced by New South Wales, things are just too volatile to declare victory yet. Until this time next year, by when most of the world will hopefully be vaccinated, it may just remain that way. And with an election due in a year or so, all that matters between now and then is the unemployment rate. And in the interim, Thursday's update gave pause for thought at the sheer scale of the repair task whenever it begins. Not that long ago, a $24 billion improvement in the budget bottom line after just 2 months would have been a cause for celebration. The update showed that the cumulative deficits for the 4 years from 2021 onwards has fallen from $480.5 billion forecast in October to $456 billion. And most of the fall, $16 billion, comes in this financial year, courtesy of the stronger than anticipated jobs rebound, an $11 billion drop-off in JobKeeper, and a $3.7 billion saving in forecast welfare payments were both contributors. But they, frankly, are the low-hanging fruit. For the next 3 years, the deficit forecast in the budget barely moved. In 23-24, the budget forecast $66.9 billion deficit. The MyEFO forecast $66 billion deficit. By 2030-31, it will still be around $46 billion deficit. Debt forecasts, of course, are both hideous and largely unchanged from the budget. Now, given the deliberately conservative estimates on iron ore and other parameters in the update, these numbers should look better when the next budget is handed down in May, but they'll still be enormous, and don't forget the hundreds of billions of dollars in state deficits as well. That's all going to be hard reckoning. And, of course, if the virus continues to grow and rage in New South Wales and creates further negativity in terms of border closures and negativity in terms of consumer and business confidence, then the financial impacts will continue to be severe. So my message is simply this: the budget is just a budget, it's just an estimate of what may happen. It is by no means certain it will happen. And events over the last few days have suggested to me it's much more likely, rather than less likely, that things will turn out less positive than my EFO might present. But hey, that, I suppose, is the difference between politics and aspirations and the real world. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.